You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
The following Lutheran Hour sermon was delivered by Dr. Dale Meyer. We hope you enjoy his message titled, Faith and Obedience. Now here's Dr. Meyer.
Oh, it's a living, busy, active, mighty thing, this faith, Martin Luther once wrote. It's impossible, he says, for it not to be doing good works incessantly. It does not ask whether good works are to be done, but before the question is asked, it has already done them and is constantly doing them. Whoever does not do such good works, however, is an unbeliever. He gropes and looks around for faith and good works, but knows neither what faith is nor what good works are. Pray God that he may work faith in you. Otherwise, you will surely remain forever without faith, regardless of what you may think or do. Luther says, pray God that he may work faith in you. Rather than expound upon that myself, I'm going to go in a moment to a soldier. The experience of a soldier named Naaman teaches us about faith, and about something a soldier understands very well. Obedience. A popular TV commercial says, just do it. Naaman was someone who just did it. His story in 2 Kings chapter 5 goes like this. Naaman was commander of the army of the king of Aram. He was a great man in the sight of his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. He was a valiant soldier, but he had leprosy. Now bands from Aram had gone out and taken captive a young girl from Israel, and she served Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, if only my master would see the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy. Naaman went to his commander in chief and told him what the girl from Israel had said. By all means, go, the king of Aram replied. That servant girl shared her faith. She did a good work. She told Naaman, you ought to do this, and Naaman did it. So Naaman went with his horses and chariots and stopped at the door of Elisha's house. Elisha sent a messenger to say to him, go, wash yourself 7 times in the Jordan, and your flesh will be restored and you will be cleansed. But Naaman went away angry and said, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God, wave his hand over the spot, and cure me of my leprosy. Are not Abana and Pharphar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleansed? So he turned and went off in a rage, which being interpreted means, I'm not going to do it. Naaman's servants went to him and said, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more than when he tells you, wash and be cleansed? Which being interpreted means, just go do it, Naaman. So Naaman went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times, as the man of God had told him. And his flesh was restored and became clean like that of a young boy. Then Naaman and his attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Now think through this story and think through what really happened. That servant girl did a good work that was motivated by faith. She said, Naaman, you should do this. And Naaman obeyed. He went to consult Elisha. Now, at that juncture, did Naaman have a true and correct faith? Did he know the true God, the God of Israel? Was he, in modern talk, a saved person? The answer is no. Naaman obeyed, but he obeyed in the same way that any pagan, any heathen bound for hell could obey. He obeyed, but he did not have a saving faith. Moving on, Naaman goes down and sees Elisha, and eventually he obeys the instructions to go wash in the Jordan 7 times. When Naaman went down into the Jordan River, did he have a faith in the true God? Again, the answer is no. He was simply obeying, doing what he had been commanded to do. To be sure, that's not bad. But that's also not the same as a true and saving faith. Moving along in our analysis of the story, Naaman goes down into the river, bathes 7 times, and he finds that his leprosy is gone. Does he now have the truth when he says, "I know that the only true God is the God of Israel"? Now the answer is yes. Now he has a true faith because God cured him of his leprosy, and God, through the Holy Spirit, convinced Naaman that there aren't gods all over the world. There's only one God, the true God, who is the God of ancient Israel, the God of the Bible. Now Naaman has a saving faith, and now he's on his way to heaven. That wouldn't have happened had Naaman not first obeyed. If he hadn't obeyed the words from the servant girl, if he hadn't obeyed Elisha's command to go wash 7 times in the Jordan River, he would not have put himself in a situation where God could give and increase faith. God was at work in Naaman's obedience, for you see, faith and obedience go together. However, none of this means that Naaman could say, "Well, God, it's you and me, God and Naaman, working our way to heaven together." None of that. Because it was God alone who moved in a mysterious way so that the servant girl spoke a word of encouragement to go see Elisha. God, in his mysterious way, gave the command through the prophet, "Go dip in the Jordan 7 times. It was God who cured him of the leprosy, God who planted the faith in his heart. It was God who gave faith then, and it's God who gives faith today. It wasn't Naaman, and it's not you or me who cooperate with God to get the true and saving faith. As Psalm 115 says, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake." But to receive that faith, Naaman had to obey and put himself in a situation where God could work faith. Faith and obedience, believe and obey, they go together. They still do today. In Mark chapter 1, Jesus says, "Repent and believe in the gospel." Two things there, repent and believe in the gospel. The first command is repent. Jesus doesn't say, "Hey, I'd like you to think about something. I'd like you to think about repenting." Jesus didn't say, "When you get back home, why don't you think about repenting, but for now, go ahead and do whatever you want to do." None of that. Jesus says, repent. You either do it or you don't. If you do, then you look at God's word. You see the orders he has given us. You realize that you haven't carried out God's orders. And you say, "God, I really am a sinner. I haven't measured up to your commands. I haven't done the things that you want me to do. No wonder the world has its problems, and no wonder I have my problems. We're being paid the wages of our sin." That's repentance, and Jesus commands it. When you have repented, when I have, we have not done anything that opens the gates of heaven. Just like Naaman, his obedience, commendable as it was, didn't save him. Being sorry for your sins is simply a work of the law, and the law saves no one. Yes, you should obey and be sorry for your sins, but that does not mean you have a saving faith. Thank God. His son Jesus not only said, repent, but he said something else, believe in the gospel. With that second command, Jesus invites us to believe the gospel, to believe the good news that God has forgiven us for Jesus' sake. Jesus says, I've come into this world to give my life as a ransom for many, also for you. Jesus died on Calvary's cross to forgive all your sins, all the times when you have not obeyed God's will in your life. Having died to pay the price for all your disobedience to God, Jesus rose from the dead so that you and I can receive eternal life. Your sin has been forgiven. Completely forgiven. There is nothing in this world that compares to the forgiveness and the freedom Christ has given you by his death and resurrection. You need not feel guilty when you've laid your sins at the foot of the Savior. You need not fear what's going to happen to you when you die, as long as you haven't shoved Jesus out of your heart. You need not continue in sin. For the God who cured Naaman of his leprosy can help you in your battles against sin. What you have ahead of you now and forever is full and abundant life, and it's God's doing. No one can give life like God can give life. So that you might know that more and more, Jesus pours out his Holy Spirit through the Word and Sacrament. The words of the Bible which you read and I speak, baptism, Holy Communion, these are God's means by which he creates and strengthens saving faith. To quote Luther again, I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him, but the Holy Ghost has called me by the gospel. God gives his Spirit and saving faith only through the Word. That's why it's so important to obey. It's important that you put yourself in those situations where God's Word can give and strengthen faith. Jesus said in Luke, "Blessed are they that hear the Word of God and keep it." If you don't obey and put yourself in situations where you hear God's Word, you're shutting out His wonderful blessings. Even that action of obeying is a great gift and work of God. Now, if you're not earnest about hearing sermons, if you're not serious about reading the Bible, if you don't listen to programs like this or others, you're thwarting God's means of grace. But when you obey and with a repentant heart hear God's Word, then He pours in the blessings of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus told a story about discipleship in Luke chapter 9. A man came up to Jesus and he said, I want to follow you, but first let me go and tell my family goodbye. Jesus responded, No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is worthy of the kingdom of God. Jesus says, You either follow me or you don't. You obey or you don't. When you try to obey the commands of God's Word, you'll come face to face with the fact that, try as you might, you're a sinner who needs help. Then Jesus comes through His Word and Spirit and gives faith, a living, busy, active, mighty faith that only God's grace can give. Lord, give us such a faith as this, and then, whatever may come, we'll taste e'en now the hallowed bliss of an eternal home. Amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this message. The Lutheran Hour is a listener-supported ministry of the International Lutheran Layman's League.